morning, our text comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will you give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Here ends the reading of words inspired by God. May God grant to us wisdom and courage for interpretation. I come from people who pray before we eat. It doesn't matter if we are around my parents' kitchen table or if we are in a restaurant. You best not touch that fork till someone has blessed the food. And everyone holds hands. It doesn't matter if you want to or not. You just will. After 5 years together, my spouse is better with this. He was raised as part of the Frozen Chosen, and they don't hold hands during prayer. Just bow your head and fold your hands. No touching. And that's okay, too. It's not like there's biblical protocol. The closest we've got to protocol is in the Gospel according to Matthew, who claims that Jesus told his disciples that it was best to pray in secret. Go to your room and shut the door. Of course, Jesus isn't actually doing that in today's text. Oops. Well, maybe he is as close as he could get to praying alone in his room. Luke tells us that Jesus was praying in a certain place. And this is not the first time that Luke has described Jesus as going off to pray. But this time, the disciples interrupt. "Teach us to pray, Lord. John the Baptizer taught his followers, so teach us." And Jesus does, although it doesn't seem like he's very good at teaching people how to pray. He doesn't start right at all. You know, like we teach our kids to pray. Close your eyes and bow your head. No peeking. It seems a little funny that Jesus doesn't start out by explaining the proper prayer position. Maybe the disciples already knew, or maybe it didn't matter. Bend your knee, or not. Hold hands with the person next to you, or not. Bow your head, or not. Close your eyes, or not. Jesus teaches them how to pray by praying, "Father, hallowed be your name." Acknowledge to whom you are praying. It could be Father, or it may make more sense to say Mother, Or maybe you want to get away from parent baggage altogether. We can pray to our Creator, the ground of being or luminous web or love with a capital L. There are 1,000 names for God. So we just pick one and begin, acknowledging that there is something or someone bigger than us, not a puppeteer in the sky pulling the strings or a clockmaker who has wound up the world and walked away, but a presence that we recognize as sacred, as holy, as good. And then, your kingdom come. Tradition has us learn the long version. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, just to cover it. Seems a little repetitive, but Luke keeps it short. Your kingdom come, period. Your kingdom come is a way to say, God, be with us right now. Help us operate under the rule of love in this moment. Your kingdom come is to say that we know that things are not exactly right. Your kingdom, not Caesar's, not the Republican or Democratic parties, not Israel's or Palestine's, not the kingdom of capitalism, but your kingdom come. God's kingdom come, because as it stands, we still offer our allegiance to other ways of doing things. This part makes me wonder if the disciples interrupted Jesus again. Excuse me, Jesus, but do you know what you're asking? Your kingdom come requires participation. We may have to vote against our own pocketbooks. Making sure that everyone has access to health care requires money, my money. Mentoring kids requires time, my time. Moving beyond coexistence into relationship with those who don't look like me or talk like me or think like me will mean initial discomfort. My discomfort. Your kingdom come? Jesus, do you know what that prayer means? That's a hard and scary prayer. But Jesus was serious about the prayer. That we know. Your kingdom come is a single phrase that holds two ideas. One, that we are all children of God, and that two, God is God, not anybody else. And because those two things are true, we must do things differently than we do them now. And Jesus was so serious about living the ideas of God's kingdom into being that the government and religious leaders had to kill him for it. Yes, Jesus says, it is a hard and scary prayer. Give us each day our daily bread. Not more, not less, enough. Praying for daily bread would have reminded the disciples of the manna given to the Israelites in the wilderness. Take enough for the day, and if you take more, it will rot. No hoarding. There won't be enough for everyone if you take more than your share. In Oklahoma, over 675,000 people woke up this morning and wondered where their next meal would come from. And so this prayer is our first gift to those who are hungry, to pray that we will just take our share of food. The second gift is to keep volunteering and running the food pantry, the one right here. And the third gift is to fight against austerity measures that would limit welfare programs so that people who need help buying food can buy real and fresh food. Daily bread. This is our prayer for enough. Bread is the catch-all word for what it takes to live. Give us our daily shelter. When the storms cut off the electricity, let there be neighbors who have generators and welcome us in. When the tornado takes off the roof, let there be somewhere for us to go. When I am rejected by the world, let there be a church that opens its doors. Enough. God, give us enough. Give us whatever it takes to live fully in this day and help us to recognize it. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone indebted to us. Notice that Jesus doesn't start the sentence with an if. Not if we sin, but rather when. Forgive us our sins because it's a safe assumption that we need it. Forgive us our sins because inevitably we will take the wrong path. We will fall short of love. Ask forgiveness. You'll need it, and you'll need it to give others too. Even when we do good in the world, we bump into one another. We bruise each other. We are careless with our words. So always forgive. If this was our philosophy, church people might have a better reputation. And bring us not into a time of trial. We're not asking for trouble, God. Life is hard, and we are easily distracted. When we forget to lean on one another, when we think we can do it ourselves, when we decide that disinterest is better than love, we will get into trouble. Help us avoid that. And that's it. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. I wonder what the disciples thought of Jesus' prayer. Was it what they were expecting? Was it what they had heard John teach his disciples to pray? When Jesus finished that line, did Peter say, "Are you sure? I think you forgot a few things"? There is no profuse praising, no groveling, no pleading. Keep it short, keep it real, don't sweat the fancy words. In the second part of our text, Jesus leaves us with a couple of images that encourage spiritual persistence. We are left with the impression that he could have used a page from the movie Finding Nemo. Instead of Dory urging us to just keep swimming, it is Jesus who encourages us to just keep praying. A promise that our asking will lead us somewhere, although he does not promise where. We knock on the door. We keep knocking. Sometimes we are even sure of what will be on the other side, only to be surprised at what we see when the door opens. Sometimes the door will open and it just will not be what we expect. The answer will not be the one that appeared on our spreadsheet of ideal or approved possibilities. Sometimes the things we find will not be anything like the thing we started out seeking. But persistence, Jesus said, will be rewarded with connection. God will be there for us, although it might not be how we pictured it. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. So the disciples did keep praying. I would think this particular prayer. I guess the disciples weren't disappointed with what Jesus suggested because they kept passing the prayer on. How did Jesus teach you to pray? Can you teach us that too? Over the years, thous and thys were added. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever were tacked on. And people argued over whether to say debts and debtors or trespasses and trespass. But the basics have stayed the same. God is God. God's kingdom come. May we have enough. Let forgiveness be the standard and keep us from trial. Jesus' followers have prayed these words time and again, reassured in their rhythm and challenged by its subversive lines. And that's it right there. The underground ways of the prayer has kept it alive. Now it's our turn. The prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, the one he prayed so much that he started living it, should still be the prayer of the church. When we say that only God is God, that there is divine presence in us and around us, we are also saying that divine presence is not money or time or ourselves. God, holy is your name. This prayer orients ourselves to a different way of being in the world. Our priorities to seek out the holy in each other and in the world and celebrate what is good is what is so powerful about this prayer. So we keep praying. The people of God pray daily for their daily bread, not for themselves only, but also because they are praying for God's kingdom here on earth, they are working for daily bread for everyone else. We work to change the rules of how we get our daily bread so that everyone can have enough. We write letters and call our legislators when the availability of food stamps is threatened. We show up at meetings about public transportation, even when we get places by driving in our cars. We show up at these meetings because everyone needs safe, reliable, low-cost transportation, daily bread, and we keep praying. We need forgiveness as much as the next guy, so let us be the first to offer it, even when it's the last thing we want to do, even when we'd rather hold a grudge or pout. Instead, we offer the benefit of the doubt, faith that they'll do better next time, because isn't that what we're all working on, doing it better next time? And we keep praying. We also keep doing another practice Jesus taught his disciples. We break bread together. We stay in communion with one another. We gather around a table where all are welcome, and we remember the covenant of love we have with God and each other. And we keep praying. So now, with your head bowed and eyes closed, or not, let us talk to God. Gracious God, we come to your table as an act of solidarity with you and with one another. We come to your table to remember the Rabbi Jesus and the ways he showed us how to live. We come to renew the covenant of love. Help us, guide us, be with us. Amen. Well, those